embrace the mess, indulge the subversive, celebrate the struggle, and shake our shame. This is a call to connect. It's permission to be vulnerable, curious, and human. Thank you for being here with us today on our season two finale.
We did it. Season two.
Season two.
40 episodes.
Holy moly. Well, he's JT. Gosh. I'm Jordan. Let's do this. I'm just kidding.
I love it today. I've been giggling this whole time. Yes,
he came in now. We're feeling good. Okay, I am kidding. I am so honored to be sitting next to my man ready to work on his tan. It's my saucy Sherpa, JTC.
Woo! I am ready to get dark. I cannot wait.
You have perpetual lines, which is fascinating. He's always board shorts walking away. Boards or no boards.
I wish I knew what that was all about. Truly.
Like youth.
Doesn't make sense with Irish skin that I'm tan.
But. Yeah, you are dark. You are dark. I'm a little jealous.
Everybody, the voice that you just heard, she is up for anything and always ready to explore. She sees the good and believes in the universe to her very core. It's Jordan, everybody.
That is me. I.
Finale.
This is the end.
We're going to have some fun, right?
Of season two. I am super excited. Let's have some fun today. I think we keep it light.
I also think it's important. We are letting people know it's our finale. We've been doing 20 episode seasons, which has been
going great. We're just making this shit up as we go, but that's what we're doing. We're consistent.
Well, yep. and we do it that way so we can take a break and travel.
Yes. While this pod is anxious to be on the road, the comfort of this perfect little let's dig into that couch has been serving us well, but it is time to get that passport ready.
Take and a
hit
break.
The road. Take a teeny break.
See something.
Don't give up on us. We're coming in hot.
Embrace ourselves in culture. And so we're going to talk about travel a little bit.
We get to talk about it today?
I think so.
I love it.
Truly, I think, again, just to put this out there, it is one of the best ways. And this is coming from someone who hated to travel.
Oh,
When I was a young person.
Again, shit you should ask about before you latch on to something like, whoa.
Well, you didn't know me, but when I was a young person, I remember my mom, my parents were amazing, and they felt it was really important that they took my sister and I outside of the country so we could experience ways of life other than what we knew. That was important to my parents. So they took us on this amazing trip when I was 16 and my older sister was 18. And we went to Europe with three other families. That part was a mistake.
Mistake. Okay. Dissing the group travel, but know the dynamics.
Exactly. Okay. And I learned so much on that trip. But if I'm being completely honest, it was a nightmare.
It did not set your
tone. Those
families
that we love, it just, things went awry.
And the expectations of this, where you are planning for it, it's so, they were able to instill in you how important the magnitude of this outing, this big, and it didn't deliver.
My sister had all these illnesses.
It was
a mess. I don't want to get into it, but the punchline is when I was 16 years old, my mom asked me, and she knew what was going on, and it wasn't an enjoyable trip. And she said, "Do you think you'll ever come back to France?" And I said, "Nope, no chance in hell." And she said, "What if your wife wants to get married there?" And I said, "Deal breaker." And so
convictions, we can count on you for your convictions, Kyle.
With that context, I want to say, now, at this point in my life, I think travel might be the most important thing that you can do to really broaden your horizons towards personal growth, towards like seeing a larger scope, changing your perspective. It might be my number one thing.
How? When? When did this transition from I hate travel punk kid, my wife can bite it, and yeah.
Well, there was a lot of other factors. And I was somewhat narrow-minded, and I'm only speaking about myself. I'm not saying this about other people who don't travel. I was very narrow-minded, but I was also an athlete, and I've talked about that too much, and I don't want to get too much into that.
It's part of who you are. I think that's fair.
Exactly. My routine was year-round training, and so travel for me meant you're getting me
interruption.
Out of, exactly, and I hated the interruption.
And I can also see when you grow up in a not only comfortable but quite beautiful place, like you could go skiing and swimming and do lots of things, and you had seasonality of sport and things like that, that it's, what's the incentive to get out? I see that you're narrow-minded when you're like, why? Like,
well,
this is awesome.
That played a huge factor in it too, and I'm glad you brought it up. I'm from Boulder, Colorado. You know
what? I've heard. That part I knew.
You know what Boulder's sort of known for? Not having any diversity at all. None.
Right. And so that was a sacrifice to the,
when I was
an incentive you didn't necessarily recognize at a young age.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is to how did it change and how did it shift? I started to realize that the world I lived in and grew up in was small.
Was not representative.
It was not representative of the world. In fact, and I think we've talked about this too. When I was a young kid, there was no black people. We had Hispanic people, but it was white people everywhere. No diversity. And I think I was in first or second grade, and we got a black student in my class, and my parents were from Maryland originally. We went out to Baltimore and Washington, D.C. every year, and I had made the assumption in my mind that black people were from Maryland.
He's obviously from there, yes.
He happened to be, which made it harder for me.
I think that is great family lore, because it's such a beautiful logic of a little one, where it's like, well, hey, who knew? Baltimore,
But after a while, I started to see how small my world actually was. That's what really shifted it for me. I wanted to experience so much more of it.
In Europe, how did your world seem? Like outside of the group travel and sister health and whatnot.
I am a diehard sports guy. And I always have been. And we've been over this a million times. So my heroes when I was younger were athletes. They were, the NFL players of the time, the Major League Baseball players of the time, the NBA players of the time. Those were my heroes.
Rocking your jerseys, were you?
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. You go to Europe and no one even knows who those people are.
Yep.
And I was like, my whole world is tiny.
I've been lied to.
Everything that's important to me, they haven't even heard of it.
My most important.
They could care less. You know?
That's eye-opening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you, on your own, kind of decided like, all right, there's some stuff out there I might be interested in.
I graduated from college and sold everything I owned and bought a van and traveled to the United States for 2 full years.
So something between worst trip and graduation, you decided this is your calling?
Well, my goal was to not only experience differences and see a bigger place and recognize other cultures, but it was also, I wanted to live somewhere else. I wanted to see a different thing. I wanted to
mix it up.
I wanted to experience the world. Yeah. And what I learned on that trip was inside our own country, there's subtle differences, of course, but it wasn't different enough.
Oh.
And it sort of was like, it was the fuel that I was like, I gotta get out and see the actual world.
Now I'm selling the van.
I want to go
renewing the passport and getting out.
I want to go somewhere where they don't speak this language.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. And the quest begins. Yeah. I think that we are aware, and I think there's a little need to call to our lens of how we are approaching this travel chat, because it is. I couldn't agree more. There's a lot of nodding and a lot of big smiles, big jump rope smile, that it is absolutely imperative. It is part of my beating heart, my makeup, but we aren't rolling in it. The limitations, we chose not to have kiddos, but we understand jobs are real, money real, kids. It's not becoming easier to get the hell anywhere.
That's right.
And so you used, just when we were chatting, starting this morning, that you were like the empathetic lens of travel, not only what you gain there, but also the perspective for this conversation of just to kind of encourage. We're big dreamers. And so if anything, if it's like having a bucket list trip, or if it's going camping in your backyard, or hopefully we expand past the backyard, but if you haven't done it before, I'll say give it a shot. And so put a little movie screen up, go for it, really. But I am advocating adventure. And whatever that means, if you're going on a trip, not a vacation, you are going on a trip back to see family on the reg, that reunion every year, maybe you mix it up, like we just said. And so I just wanted to take a quick moment because it's like, everybody wants to travel, and I'm trying not to be that asshole.
I think we all appreciate that. And I don't think that we're out. We can't call our private jet and go somewhere. We prioritize travel.
You have watched me work some point magic. I get high on my own supply when I can come to this guy and be like, get this for our total round trip. I use some points. I'm all about points if you're into it. But I'm like, we are under $200 and we are flying to see people we love. And so it is like it's a game for me.
Right. Two of my favorite trips I've ever been on were Iceland and Thailand. And I only bring that up because the reason I went to those places is because it's what I could afford to do.
Absolutely.
Thailand, you know what I mean?
Silly like moment, but we do get back to the East Coast. Our Thailand trip was equal in cost to like our normal
Baltimore 18
trip. Getting there is a trick, but man, is it in your dollar.
18-day trip to Thailand, I think, was actually more affordable than our 4-day trip to the East Coast of our country.
And again, not dissing. I cannot wait. I have never been fortunate enough to explore Scandinavia because I can't afford it yet, but I'm pumped. I want to go when I can do. We talked when Rachel Steich was on the episode about our hostel living. Like, I have taken one click up, but this chick ain't flying first class, let me tell you. I said that. I was like, in my 40s.
Yes.
It'll be first. It's not. But I'm going where I want to go.
We recognize how important it has been to our life. And so we're sharing our own personal experience. We understand that travel is expensive and it takes time and it throws you out of your routine. But I want to talk about why it's worth it. Mm-hmm. That's what I really think that.
And even more important for those with little ones that it's those memories that you can make and what you hold on to and getting out. Like, those stick with you in a different way.
Absolutely.
And so you mentioned some favorite trips and some least favorite trips. Is there one between the two of us? What would you think the most I don't know how to say that, most relaxing? We have a tendency to work in relaxation.
Yes, being from a mountainous area, I am definitely more pulled to the beach. And I think that you share that with me, which is really nice, but Thailand...
Water makes me feel very at peace.
Yes, Thailand was so different. I went there thinking I am going to read these two books on the beach. That's all I care about. And then I was immersed in a different culture. I ate things I never thought I would eat. I saw people who lived in their boats. I learned so much about myself by experiencing a culture that was so incredibly different from mine. For instance, I can't.
We don't do laundry out, like, there aren't washing and dryers, like, as businesses next to a massage, next to a tailor, every block in the community outside.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's out and about and happy.
When you walk the streets, there are vendors on lining the streets. And it's because we got to peek in one little window of a regular residential sort of apartment building in Thailand. And it is a like 10x10 square apartment, efficient, barely has a kitchen. No one cooks.
It
was unbelievable.
Because, yeah, the affordability and everybody being out in these waves for meals, and that is the dining room.
Yes.
Is outside. And I know we're probably not dropping epiphanies for some people who have, like, spent
majority of time there. But it was so different from what we know.
Beautiful to... Yeah, you didn't feel like, oh, I'm a tourist hunting down this restaurant. You were like, who am I dining with tonight?
Right.
And it is such a different, we followed our noses.
And so when you ask me like the one experience that pops into my mind right away, how about you?
Yeah, and you were going from the guy that didn't really want to travel. Was I a trustworthy in that like huge culture shock? Was our dynamic?
I think the companionship aspect of who you travel with.
Your wingman.
You are so good for me because... food.
I was fishing a little.
Food and water, I think, are a big deterrent for a lot of people. My dad, for instance, who really despised traveling. He really did.
It can be, for me, hearing water's tricky to find, but I've never had a struggle where I went without.
Well, you have opened my mind and made me feel safe to eat these things that, if I'm being completely honest, on my own, there was no chance in hell. And now I love Thai food. We seek it
out. I'll go first. That's why we're here. I'll go first. Don't worry
about
it.
And so having a great travel companion is really important too.
Yes, I do think that the palate, that's usually where I'm like, these are the two destinations and the five meals that I'm looking forward to. And that's all I need was I'm like planning for a trip. In my pack, or my, it was my footwear comfortable to get me to these snacks.
Right.
But you have been great for me in the don't have to maximize expectation management of we can incorporate. Let's be sure to read at least a book. And most of our pictures are me walking. I'm reading with a book in my hand.
Yeah.
Can't even let.
Gotta get away from this guy.
Yeah, nope, not trying to shake it. Just can't. I'm so excited. And I think you can't, there's no replacing that. Like Thailand, when people ask how was it, I'm like, it smelled incredible, which we did not end up in Bangkok, unfortunately, and we'll go back. But we managed to, yeah, we were in some larger cities, in Chiang Mai and some places. But that was my first shock. And that is one of the reasons I absolutely love to get on the move is it was floral and salt water. And yes, these elements of wood fire.
Fruits I had never seen.
Oh my God, like mangoes, like we eat soap. I think I'm part mango steens. Like, oh my gosh. Like it was absolutely, yeah. And the from Pinterest to travel food shows to be inspired to be like somebody else vouched for that and have someone else's bravery get you in the door is absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely.
I know.
So from the lens of growth as a human being, and expanding your perspective of the world, what do you think the most important part of travel is? Like, why do you think it's so important to us as people? Do you have the same belief that I do, that it's up there as one of the most important things we can do?
You mentioned how you were raised, and I was, when I was taught to budget, when I was making money, started my first one shoe over the cuckoo's nest with my little flip-flops, I was, this is to save, this is, you know, to spend. And my parents were, my mom especially with travel, but fun money,
travel money. For travel
and
money.
So there has always been in my life a, I don't feel like I am well balanced and I'm in alignment, whatever sort of personal growth without, because for me, the humility of, in a really great way, I don't freaking matter. I do.
Yes.
It makes me also so proud of it. I get inspired. I can dress. I'm currently in a very comfy ensemble and seeing other people. There are some folks that are inspired by fashion in their day to day. When I travel, I am blown away. And that can be domestically wherever, but from urban to these different communities, like we got a lot of cowboys in these parts. And so I think that, yeah, it's just so humbling that it inspires me to be like, I am all of the individuality that I see. And so we're all, I kind of feel like part of a hive.
So you find gratitude,
yes,
in your own insignificance.
I'm glad he's here. And so that is really well put. I feel overwhelming, like big, bright energy, gratitude for how my shit does not matter. This perspective enhancement, this slowing down. We all get stuck in the, you could order the same coffee every day. And yes, we're hoping you're using politeness, but engaging. And when you travel, many people are thrilled you're there. They're not allowed to or enabled at that moment to be able to experience. And so if you can lock eyes, like those connections are a moment in time. That is a blip in the big universe of
it's love it.
So I got goosebumps right now.
Yeah,
like I when someone wants joining someone else's table, communal dining, being open hearted and teach me and fucking up and being okay with it too.
That's right.
Like it's no one's there to like, sure, there are cultures that may poke fun and there are people that will be jerks. Absolutely. But some of my we dined in the home of the principal I worked with my non-for-profit in outside of Cape Town in South Africa. He was so generous. We had been emailing and a couple snuck in phone calls. I had to like go to a big office to try to dial out. And we were blown away with the invitation. Please come and join my wife at our table in our house.
So you're in
and
South Africa.
I'm in South Africa with, there's a group of six of us. Tawanda!
Yes.
This group, six women in my family. And they sat down at their table, this beautiful assortment of colorful, different. And we are all brave.
And this is seven women from Missouri.
We're a lot.
In a home of someone
two
in South
very
Africa.
Sweet, soft-spoken, gentle, incredible, magnificent people.
Wow.
So the Arinzis. And so we are at their table, and we start Thanksgiving style. Just
spooning
they
it
were
out.
Like, please go ahead, help yourself. And we are spooning out, loading up our plates with all, taking just enough, you know, being polite. And then they proceed to take one item and then enjoy it and then move on to the next item. And we are the shame of all. I can't speak for everyone's experience, but our faces had a communal moment. And I felt so much love for this man already that I was like, what are they gonna, you know? It was so sweet to be so kind of stupid. But we did, you know, there's no education. And they giggled, no ill will. Like, it was totally perfect. And I felt part of something larger.
So the cultural disconnect actually was something that probably connected you that day.
We got in the car and drive home. We're like, oh my gosh, can you believe we're pigs?
They're watching you, you're watching them, and everyone has a little chuckle. And it actually brought you closer together.
Absolutely. We laughed about it before, like during coffee. And it was, yeah, a bonding moment of, so we friends now. Like, I just finished the crust of your sandwich, kind of a bonding moment. Like, I just reached over and took your pizza you had.
Wow. This episode of Let's Dig Into That is brought to you by...
Are you stuck in the same old routine? Feeling like life's a little meh? Well, friends, it's time to break free from the ordinary without breaking the bank. Introducing Say Yes Vacation Packages and Why the Hell Not Timeshares. Forget countless hours of comparison shopping and scrolling through inconsistent hotel reviews. Say Yes Vacations promises custom adventures that will change your life. Pack your bags and get lost for a while. From mountain treks to tropical escapes, Say Yes has your ticket to perspective. So why the hell not? Travel doesn't just change your location, it changes you. It makes you braver, more empathetic, and let's be honest, way more interesting. You don't need to be rich, you don't need a plus one, you just need to be curious. Don't wait for a sign, because this is it. Say Yes Vacations guarantee a tweak to the perspective, a dose of personal growth, or your money back. Say yes to adventure. Sign up now, because let's face it, your couch isn't going anywhere, but you could be.
Well, if you had to guess, like, what do you think is the number one inhibiting factor? Like, why people don't travel? Outside of the limitations, we've sort of like, sure, if you had a budget for.
Yeah, it's hard to say about other people, so I'll use my own experience, but I was talking about that routine, and that doesn't have to be sports related. That could be just your everyday life, and it's so comfortable, you know, to get your coffee in the morning and have your structure and your routine. And so for me, I used to dread the being pulled out of my everyday life and then having to try to jump back into the swing of it. That was a big deterrent for me. And we already sort of talked about the food and water and different languages. But I can
just
see it, though,
just to give you a visual of, JT, do you want to go to Barcelona? Can't. So-and-so's got a birthday party.
Right.
What? Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, I look back. I spent so much of my life sitting on my butt watching football games on Sundays. And I lived in Hawaii for a brief amount of time and wouldn't go surfing that day because I wanted to watch football games. And it's just... the perspective. Exactly. A priority shift. But I think that that's a major factor for a lot of people, is it feels like it's going to be so disruptive.
It's a perfect word.
To your life that it's not worth it. That's what I think the major sort of misconceptions.
Well put. Yeah.
You know? What about you? Do you think why do you think people are afraid?
Well, I think fear is the, yeah, exactly, that people don't travel. Because fear is very real, new and difficult, and yeah, the challenges. And so I think that it's interesting that you are on these trips and suddenly now you have this perspective, you said, where you kind of shuffle the prioritize, and you're prioritizing, when you come back, intentional living.
Exactly right.
Like, feeling more intentional. Like, we can all still sit on our butt. Let's get real.
Exactly. I'm not giving up football. That's not what I'm saying at all. But a lot of times when I would travel abroad, particularly, and then I would come back, it really put what was most important in my life into a perspective. It helped me sort of gauge and conceptualize, am I doing the things that bring me the most amount of joy and propel me forward to be the person that I want to be? And a lot of times those trips, I came back and realized, man, I'm spending a lot of my time doing, you know, fill in the blank.
So it just shakes things up a little
bit. When it's not projecting me or pushing me forward on the path that I want to be on. But I don't think that if I didn't have the experience of stepping away from it, I would have been able to recognize that.
Easy, low hanging fruit. Like, yeah. Absolutely. It's the easiest to just kind of stay in it. Do you think, well, there was ever a time when being away, traveling in any road trip in the van to international, when you had to confront something like tricky within you or if you were in a relationship? Since we're talking, I'm glad I extended. I was like,
We've already talked about that. I went to Europe and broke up with a girlfriend on that trip. But
well, didn't break up. You played one night game of let's pretend we don't know each other.
Right.
And we're other folks and didn't end up coming home together. Awesome.
Yes.
So you learned your relationship didn't
That's
work.
Definitely one thing I learned. But no, there's definitely more to that. Something that I've had to learn about myself. Absolutely. And it's very similar to what I sort of just said of – I had to realize that I'm not prioritizing the things that are most important in my life, you know, and maybe it's maybe it's the people and the humanity, but I guess the hardest thing that I had to realize was my current life is small. And unlike your experience of traveling and feeling wonderfully, gratefully insignificant, coming back to feeling that same thing is really, really hard, where you go and see this big, massive world and see how other people and other cultures live.
The plight of the people. Mm-hmm.
And then you come back to your little bubble and you're like, this isn't real.
You know, a lie.
That would be my
it's
most...
all a lie.
Exactly.
Well, we are like the convenience and those, for example, ice in a beverage is not implied globally.
No.
And that's okay with me. It is not okay with everyone.
Cold beverage, period.
Cold beverage is not a requisite clean, you know, we've established isn't. And so there are folks that could find that alone, because I think having to request a glass of ice somehow politely in another language and then let your warm beverage, if that is going to ruin your whole experience, find a new spot. But I want to encourage, like, it's so you are always the advocate for where should we go that needs us in such a beautiful way that it's like these gorgeous places that don't get the best rap. And it's not like we're hunting for lack of safety.
Yeah.
That's not it. But oh man, the gratitude that happens when you are participating in a tourist-based economy.
Right.
And it feels really good to go and be kind.
Great point.
And tip well.
What a misconception of, like, some of these places that we hear could be dangerous or...
The media, I think, everywhere is like, just everyone stay home. Like,
my dad, I already sort of mentioned, he hated traveling. It wasn't his jam. And we had a conversation about this because he was a trooper. He came to Mexico with me and my family. He had a miserable time, stayed in the room for the last 3 days. And I asked him, I was like, what's going on here? And he goes, all I ever hear about Mexico, where we were, is cartel, that I can't drink the water, that it's a dangerous place.
I think that's good that we don't over. Yeah, I'm like, I'm excited to head there in 3 days.
Exactly. And so I think that is a misconception where a lot of these places
misinformation
rely on us coming there and are excited when we are.
Truth. Yes, there are places that don't agree, but that is the overall experience we've shared.
So playing devil's advocate a little bit.
Hallelujah.
What are some of the negatives in your mind to traveling, or are there any in your mind?
I find that I've never been like, wish that had never happened. Not once has that. There's always,
you're able to see the experience
something
as
luggage gets lost and trains are on strike and shit has happened, flights canceled, all of that. And I have been good for you in the, okay, guess we're gonna mix it up little adventure, as opposed to burning an airport down. And so ask me again, what are the misconceptions?
No, negatives.
Negatives.
Do you think there's anything negative about traveling?
I think the expectation management. If you are pumped up to take your kids to Disney, hypothetically, and they aren't, and then your expectations when they're like turds in the sun and in line, that making sure folks are motivated for the right reasons. If it's speaking up, like if it is, I aspire to those folks that love taking a solo self, I would talk so much, I'd probably be institutionalized by the end of it. Like, there's that chick lapping the pool on the outside, reading a book and talking to herself. And that sounds heavenly. but I think that always worth the risk. And so I'm so, do you have one? Because I'm a little too joy bus over here.
Well, I just was trying to do a non-biased podcast, but like, I think we're both big believers in travel. I guess the negatives, yeah, who you travel with is important.
The group is important, the dynamic. And I find out in those that people look to me for next, even in this relationship, which took time to get comfortable with. When I had the like, come
next
on.
As in like planning, like what
right,
are we doing?
Like keeping the rhythm going is not just a group discussion. And I get it from my mama, but that we have a tendency in that type where it's like, Jordan knows how to make a party. She'll figure it out. She knows how to get tacos. And I do. There was a line from our first international trip where I go, JT, put on your pants. We're getting tacos. Because it was a crisis of blood sugar.
Yes.
I was hungry. And so, and hot. It was so hot, but magical.
So you touched on my negative a little bit, and it's more about your own personal mindset. And yes. So you talked about that. If the kids don't actually want to be there and you're taking them there and your expectations.
If the mindset's twisted, you're not going to have fun. Travel's going to suck. Don't do it.
Exactly right. But I would extend that further to, I think it's really important that when you do travel, particularly internationally, that you have some respect for the culture that you're going to. That you've done a little bit of research and can
little
try
research
to meet,
can go a long
try
way.
To meet them, the people of wherever you're going, learn a phrase or two. Of saying thank you or please or whatever it is.
Excuse me.
I think that's really important because yes. One of the negatives could be if you're in a brand new place and you're there to explore and you're unaware of some of the cultural differences, you could offend without knowing it. And that scares a lot of people too. I think that's one of the reasons that people are a little afraid to travel. And so if you can do a little bit of research, it goes a long way. But it also starts with your mindset that you're going there to learn about
they
a
aren't
culture.
There to accommodate you
exactly.
To a, yes, hospitality is real, but you are a guest.
And so you do have to do a little bit of prep work to make sure that you're prepared for these adventures and these travel. And if you don't, one of the things that can happen is you could run into some unruly people and put yourself in dangerous situations unknowingly. And that's what I think people are scared of
a lot of
times.
That's a big turnoff, absolutely, of because it is like, you know, shaking with a certain hand, not shaking hands.
Your feet shouldn't
in Thailand. You don't let the bottoms of your feet point in the direction. It's very
disrespectful
to, yes, your shoes are off. But then, and I was in like an origami ninja pose and I'm like, I cannot offend in this temple. And I'm like, this is not, everybody else makes it look so easy. And we are not bendy, you and
right.
me. And it was like, and I'm standing again. And so, but it can go a long way of not, yes, to, if it is a bow and no touching or, you know, not, yeah, just don't touch people if you don't really know the rules. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. But, and also getting excited, like how, when I was fortunate enough to study abroad, if you're where we would learn about a piece of art and then see it. And
crazy. That
was crazy. And I took a recent trip to Austin, which is a city that I absolutely adore.
Austin,
I
Texas.
I am embarrassed that I have never been to the public library, a building that I treat as a temple. And I follow a lot of etiquette rules in there too. And I just think if you have a little destination, that research of being a good participant in
absolutely.
Humanity as a guest there, you can also have an opportunity to find inspiration in what could be, you know, that little hidden gem.
Absolutely.
And there's so much out there.
The last little bit of that sort of negative, but also maybe a misconception, it's okay to ask. You know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing is so many times we don't feel like we're in a comfortable situation where we can be vulnerable. The more vulnerable you are when you travel, if you go up to that person who's serving you, for instance, if they're waiting on your table and you go, hey, I don't know.
I need help.
I don't know what the etiquette is here. Should I use this big soup spoon and put things on it and eat it like that? Or should I use just the fork? If you ask the question, they want to help you and they're actually soft. They're like, you want to do this the way that we do it to honor us. And that's the way it comes across. And so that's just when you're unwilling to expose yourself and change and learn, travel can certainly be negative.
Absolutely.
You gotta
and
have
I
an
don't
open
wanna,
mind.
And I don't want to discourage. We have just so happened to live in what some people would consider a vacation spot because yes. we are surrounded by incredible lakes and mountains and rivers. And this is where
fishing and hunting mecca.
Come to hike and zen and snowmobile and ski. Like
fly fishing capital.
And
of
we
our country.
Like those things. And we prefer, I prefer to chase tacos and noodles and omelets and flavors and churches and history and things like that. But I don't want to discourage any adventures in proximity
right.
of knowing what does, like thinking outside the box and yeah, going to a museum you haven't been to in your own town, but getting excited. Are we a city family or are we a fly fishing,
yeah.
going in the woods, popping the tent up? And so there's just such magical opportunity. And if you, any inspiration, if you have a brave friend that asks you, dare yourself to say yes. And so you touched on like that group dynamic because having
get out of
someone
your comfort zone. That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, but it's just so much easier said. Like, why? I can see the whole duvet, you know, comfy. Why? And that is where I think, yeah, start small.
Well, that's one of my favorite things about travel is I do love my cushy comforter and my wonderful routine. And it's wonderful when I can go experience something different and come back to that. It makes me appreciate my home more.
Yeah. How has travel helped you like redefine? Has it redefined how you like think of home?
Yes.
Home. I think that we all do that. Like, once you move somewhere, you know, like home.
It has definitely redefined my perception of home and what I call home. And it pulls me out of that routine that I used to say makes me so uncomfortable. But now I love to travel because I get to go back to the routine. I used to hate having to get back in the swing of things. Traveling and being away makes me appreciate it. I like to get back into my routine. It makes me feel more comfortable. It's so much fun to get sort of washed around in a wave and you're exploring and you're experiencing all these new things. And then it's so nice to get back to the routine that makes me feel comfortable. It's something I can look forward to and anticipate. And that's huge. It gives it such a greater appreciation for the place that I call home.
And I, since a young age, I always felt that I'm going to go on this weekend getaway. Like I trailed, you know, my mom to a lot of conferences and spent a lot of time in hotel pools, gyms, walking around,
yeah.
exploring on my own. And I was like, I am going to return after these 3 days transformed. I'm going to be so zen. So for me, it was like a reevaluation of self. And then it made it so fun to kind of take a look and step back and be like, oh, damn,
right.
That's not me anymore. Or
it
yeah.
feels like, especially when I was younger, it feels like someone's just rolling out a portfolio of all your options. As opposed to, I used to only have 3 options on this piece of paper. And then I go and see all these new places and it feels like that piece of paper grew.
Opening doors.
It's opening doors. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And there's never an adventure you go on where you aren't, oh, I love to plan my next one. But where you're inspired like, oh, I overheard this other table talking about how much they loved. I mean, we heard this incredible couple talking about how Iran was their ultimate. Individually, they answered.
Not just incredible couple. They've been to every country in the world.
Every country in the world, and that was their
number one destination that they enjoyed the most was Iran.
Yeah, and that, for me, was like, I got to get out. I got to do this stuff.
And we got that information from one of our favorite TV shows. It is a travel and food show.
Oh,
everybody loves.
Somebody
feed Phil.
Yes, Phil Rosenthal.
He interviewed that couple.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had forgotten how we found that. But Somebody Feed Phil, the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, his show is very, yes, he does a wonderful, beautiful job of kind of giving back, of learning what folks are doing to take care of each other.
Absolutely.
Within the communities he's visiting. And I think that the importance of, I mean, you mentioned the communal dining vibe and communal clothes washing that I referenced in Thailand, that piece, that's what keeps us going. And
yes.
Yeah, making those, seeing what communities look like and how purposeful.
Right. So that TV show inspired us. In your opinion, can you get this cultural experience?
Is there a sub? Is there an AI?
Exactly. Is there a sub for that feeling of actually being feet on the ground in a new place? Can you get that same feeling with anything else in the world, in your opinion?
My gut leans toward, oh, I wish, I could, like, the IMAX theater, the IMAX. I mean, again, we've talked about your, the upbringing seems very clutch because where we, that framework of travel and how it's put into something you value or not. Like, my father is a fabulous, incredible, has been cool places, but he's a homebody. He would own that.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful, but he adores watching aerial and travel. He has traveled more from the comfort of his massage chair than
and he knows many, a ton.
And he is so informative, and it is hilarious that I'm just like, is that like, is Machu Picchu? Like, is that a bucket list? Nope, not a need, not a need. Saw it, did it. And I talked about the smell of Thailand and the flavors of, yeah, I went to Vietnam where I watched someone chop meat on a slab of cardboard on the sidewalk. And I was like, okay, lean into this. That's going to go well. My body fears me. I'm like, we got this. We got this. But I think that there's no substitute for humbly messing up somewhere else and getting through it.
Yes.
And realizing how cool and resilient you are. And you, yeah, it's just really, yeah, empowering.
What I really think the difference is of watching an incredibly well-made documentary that can absolutely teach you something
while eating the food that you got carry out at
exactly.
Your coffee.
Exactly. The real difference, I think, it kind of comes down to sympathy versus empathy, which is something we've talked about. You can look at a situation and go, you know, let's say we're talking about a bad situation, for instance, just for this particular example, but you see the plight of a people that are struggling so hard wherever they are, and you're like, taken back for that, you feel, and you're like, oh my gosh,
I
feel so bad for those people. But then you go there and you see it, and you don't just feel bad for them, you feel with them. It's different. You can see it and feel something.
That can't be
right. But I don't think that you can get the same sort of empathy that you can gain when you're actually in it. You want to feel with it. You want to be a part of it. And when you can actually put yourself in that experience, that's like really embracing culture. And it doesn't always have to be a negative. I've just used that as an example for the sympathy versus empathy aspect of things. But do you understand that? Like,
it is. Yes, it doesn't have
to be a part of it as opposed to understand it.
It is the Sarah McLachlan commercial for all of the heartbreaking,
oh, I hate that commercial.
The animals around Christmas time and the commercial and the music. And
oh, that's such a good point.
Totally touches you
and
makes you feel like a just bag of jerks and makes you tear up. And then here we are. You go to the Humane Society. You see these pups. You are the call to action.
Yes.
The desire to make moves, to change behaviors, to grow, to do better, to be braver all happens when you're in there smelling it.
Well, until our very wonderful union, I had never been a cat person. I had never owned a cat. I'd never been around cats, period. And so that Sarah McLachlan commercial would come on.
You and, have a new cat.
And I would be like, tears, I'm good. Tears,
and
I'm
good.
And now I see those little kittens and I fall apart because we have a cat and I've bonded with it.
Because you
I
are
love
Pride
it.
Rock.
Where I used to just see it and I was like, I feel so terrible for that cat. Now I think about my cat being in that same situation.
He loves her hard.
That's exactly what I'm talking about with travel is, yes, you can understand it and feel something, seeing it on television and understanding and learning, reading about it. But when you're there experiencing it, it's a completely different thing.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Start small. I do agree. Be flexible. Do a little research, be kind, mess up and say, I'm sorry.
Be willing to let your mind expand.
Yes.
Don't come there with preconceived notions.
Yes.
You know?
But put it on the list. I think it's important. We talk about so much goal setting and having that, you know.
Travel is an opportunity. It really is.
To make grow it as a intentional living. That seems like something I should be doing. If that involves travel, sign me up.
Before we close this out, I want to hear about your number one travel experience. Do you have a top of the list? It doesn't have to be something we did together.
Okay.
Favorite experience, period.
Favorite. I've had too many. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm sorry. I am kicking you out of this one. I have only been fortunate enough to go to New Zealand one time.
Oh.
And I would live there in a heartbeat. That's another thing.
They don't want you.
You could think you want to live somewhere and then you go and you're like, huh, it's not me. And I totally thought it was. Another reason.
Islands
are
tough.
You got to test drive in person. But we get to New Zealand. I'm at a very happy, athletic, young, like early, late teens, early 20s, somewhere in that zone. I think I might have been like 19. And this guy's like, hey, you want a parasail off this mountain? Within 5 minutes of our arrival. And I was like, hell yeah, I do. And so we're in Queenstown, New Zealand, and I am tandem strapped to this stranger with his little GoPro camera, and we are floating over the it was, holy moly, that was an incredible experience.
That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm. We went to the Sydney Opera House on that trip, and that just feels like I'm on the opposite side of the world.
Yeah.
And that was very important to me.
Gotcha.
And then I have That's girls' trips that I could talk about all day. And so what about you?
I would say...
It should include me.
Well, since you went one without me, I was a wine salesman and I won a spiff package that sent me to Spain.
So that means like incentive, like
incentive. Okay, I sold enough Spanish wine that they wanted to
take you to Spain,
send me to the people who made it. And that was really cool. And my layover, the cheapest airfare was Aer Lingus through Ireland. And my layover was in Dublin. And I'm Irish. That's my family's heritage. And so I extended that. And I ended up staying there for 3 days as opposed to just being there for like 6 hours.
So cool.
And man, was that such an enlightening, enriching life experience for me, because the first thing that I saw when we arrived at our hotel was that the pub across the street was my last name.
Yes.
And I was like, these people look like me.
These, I'm like, home.
Everyone's saying, they talk in a similar cadence. And unlike sort of talking about seeing a culture that was completely different and completely unknown, it was different and it was unknown, but it felt comforting. It felt like learning about the origins of who I was. And it changed me forever. It was just such an incredible experience to sort of see where my family came from.
And that's
great. My family's from Cork. And after I came back, I told my parents about this experience and how changed I was, and that our last name was everywhere, where I've literally never met someone with my last name ever. Mm-hmm. And then I go to Ireland and it's like Smith.
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told my parents about that. They went back and they did the journey to Cork and saw
our
family's castle.
He came out of his hotel room.
And it was my dad's favorite trip that he ever went on.
Probably a very similar sensation.
Exactly.
Of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing that I feel that in oh so many places.
Yes.
If some, there's no closer or faster way to get to my heart if somebody thinks I'm from, they're like, oh, are you Greek? And I'm like, I wish. Are you Italian? Please give me a hug. Yeah. Native American. I beg. Please, please. So yeah, I got a little.
Well, I love that this was our topic. This was a very fun conversation to have right before we travel. And holy shit, babe.
What a
end
great,
of season two.
End of season two.
Holy.
This has been an adventure on its own. And
yes.
The dream is big that travel in this pod will connect in
yes.
a huge way. So this is exciting.
I can't believe it. Thank you, everyone who's been tuning in and supporting us as
Ninjas.
We grow. We definitely make sure that we tell people to finale because we're taking a break.
We are taking a break and we will be back. I should have had that date. It will be in the notes. It'll be, yep, very
short. Taking 2 weeks off.
Short 2 week break. We have incredible interviews
lined up
actually from East Coast to West Coast with folks we'll be chatting with.
Absolutely.
And some topics we want to dig into.
I'm going to challenge you with our setup and some things that are going to be a little bit
different. It's exciting.
Draw in hopefully more people. But yeah, this has just been incredibly awesome. And I can't believe we're at the end of season two.
Thank you. Thank you. This was driven by your comments, your feedbacks, your emails, your calls. Yes, messages, all of it. It means the world. Thank you.
Truly.
Love Ninjas.
All right. Come back and see us in season three in 2 weeks.
We promise. JT's going to be topless. It'll be great. I'm just kidding.
That's our biggest advance. Yeah.
Make it weird on vacation.
That's right.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody. I'm JT.
And I'm Jordan. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
That's right. Be brave, beautiful friends.